Chapter 14. Ryan Dawson. The man who researched Epstein for 13 years. Ryan Dawson is an independent researcher, journalist, and the author of The Separation of Business and State. He is a regular guest on my YouTube channel and has produced an extremely detailed Epstein map linking the key figures. This is an edited version of his interview. What got you interested in Epstein in 2007? Him being arrested. I had people on my forum in the Florida area who were talking about it. And honestly, when? I don't remember if it was before or after he got arrested. I'd have to go back and look. But there were. This is not the only pedophile ring. There were the Dream Boys. And before that, there was the Flinders cult. And a lot of this happens, sadly enough. I mean, even at wartime. I mean, Abu Ghraib and others that are tortured in prisons and DynCorp and even Blackwater. They get involved in this human sex trafficking. And states get involved in this. Saudi Arabia and Israel in particular, which will end up very deeply involved with Epstein too. And so it's hard for me when I hear a claim. Is this somebody seeking attention or is this real? Because it was so bizarre what was going on. And you see something on the internet forum, and I'm like, why are you telling me? Why don't you tell the police or something? I was so naive, right? And why aren't you going to the authorities? And the problem is, they're paid off, or they're the ones doing it. And so we talked about Epstein. We were talking about his cohorts. We talked a lot about Maxwell's father and stealing Promise software. Because I do a lot of digging into the Israelis, into the mafia, as you do. And so you see these webs. I'm not shy from conspiracy. I don't dabble with the Jones type variety, what we call the Alex Jones variety. That's not my cup of tea. But Eric Weinstein, that's more the type of conspiracy that I dig into. But I'm very angry about it. And I think a lot of people are interested in this story and want to know what happened because this is a lot deeper than just some wealthy guy who was a pervert. This was an intelligence operation. And we have evidence that it was an intelligence operation. And we know the players. And there are still people who could be subpoenaed. We know where Dershowitz is. We know where Prince Andrew is. So, you talked about the transfer of nuclear technology and knowledge to Israel, and Robert Maxwell was pushing the Promise software all over the world, selling a multiple of what the other peddlers were selling. How big was his role, then, in that transfer of that knowledge? Yeah, he comes a little after the Sonneborn group, but it's an identical way of financing, the same way they originally made a group with Rudolf Sonneborn in New York in 1945 to procure weapons for the future war. Haganah was stealing weapons from all over the world, but especially in the United States, because the United States had the most weapons. They didn't have any cities destroyed in World War II. One base in Hawaii, which actually wasn't part of the United States yet. But they had the bomb, and the goal was, we're going to get the bomb. And I just brought that up to show the scale of it. If you can't get a story out of the most powerful weapon in the world being stolen, then the U.S. still won't admit that. Not officially. They won't admit that Israel has nuclear weapons. Even though Mordecai Vanunu went and took pictures of the warheads and showed at that time they already had hundreds of nuclear weapons. But you're right. Robert Maxwell was in that same clique with some of the scientists. Zalman Shapiro and so on. Who were part of the tail end of the weapons theft, which I guess is most well known for the theft they did out of Pennsylvania, where Heli Trading Company, for example, is the largest Israeli arms dealer. Aaron Milchan admits it on a stage. By the way, nothing happens to him. The buyer side of that was who was taking Krypton triggers, which is something you need in the development of nuclear warheads. Was none other than Benjamin Netanyahu, who's now the Prime Minister. And when it comes to Epstein, he's not unfamiliar with prime ministers or chief heads of the Mossad either, like Ehud Barak. But that's very important because Ehud Barak helped shelter other pedophiles, other incidences of international pedophilia, and also President Katsav. Katsav was the president of the tail end of Barak's tenure as prime minister. He was convicted of rape in Israel. Israel's president was convicted of rape. I mean, in 2000 to 2007, he's president. Not many people know that the president of Israel was convicted of rape. Can you imagine if the president of Iran was convicted of rape? That would be all over the TV. Or any other country. The president of the United States was convicted of rape, and where would that be? But yes, the president of Israel. Israel has a president and a prime minister. They have a similar system to the French. Was convicted of rape. And that was all during this time period. And not a peep in the media about that either. So, when people are wondering, why did this story die? How come there were all these questions and then it went away? They got about as deep as Leslie Wexner, and then zip. The Wexner Foundation was actually used to illegally launder money to Ehud Barak's coffers. This was the chief of the Mossad. And while he is for the Mossad, he is the chairman of the board for the Carbine Group, which used to be called Reportee, which Epstein helped to create too. So did Peter Thiel, who was one of the principal founders of PayPal. Carbine is kind of Israel's Blackwater. It's a security front 9/11 response thing. And Eric Prince gets involved in that as well. He's changed the name. I think it went from Blackwater to XZ. And then it was the Academy. And they had another name, and now I think it's called Frontier Secure Services Group or something. And they're making Blackwater China as we speak. But these people have been caught in rape rings, as has DynCorp. So this isn't anything new as far as governments covering up pedophilia. But a lot of Wexner's group for the mega donors, the Bronfman family, for example, have deep ties to organized crime, as well as the Nexium cult, which also was caught in raping women and branding people. Claire and Sarah Bronfman actually already admitted to trafficking young girls in the Nexium cult, and Edgar Bronfman Sr. is the president of the World Jewish Congress, and Charles Bronfman, of course, is the chairman of United Jewish Communities, which would have the United Israel Appeal and United Jewish Appeal and the Council of Jewish Federations. I don't want anyone to get the wrong idea. They can write the word Jewish in their name. That doesn't make them speak for an ethnic group. These people are Jewish supremacists. It's the same as, wow, are you so shocked that white supremacists are white and black supremacists are black and a lot of Jewish supremacists are Jewish? But that is a subset of a larger category. I don't want anyone confusing that these people have loyalty to a state, which is the state of Israel, and it can call itself the Jewish state. But that doesn't make it so. All these people are out of their minds. And Michael Steinhardt and a lot of these Jewish billionaires and the Bronfmans, Wexner, they don't represent Jews. They don't represent anything. I don't want anyone getting the wrong picture there, but they are a supremacist clique, and they do have loyalty to a foreign state. And that is their purpose, to set up a parasitic relationship, really inside the US and Canada, to steal technology, because that's what Epstein was doing. He was a blackmail and spy operation. And it's been done many times before. If I had many, many hours, I could go all along the way from the 40s to now, walking through it. I have taken a map starting from about the 80s, just when Epstein got involved, onward. but they are always stealing technology and setting up honey traps. Right now, in 2020, the current president of the United States, his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, whose father was caught and convicted and thrown in prison for illegal campaign financing, which also involved sexual blackmail on his own brother-in-law, where he got in a feud with Marie Kushner, his older brother, and then his sister, Miriam. And he set up her husband with a hooker, who went to the Red Bull Inn, and they secretly filmed a sexual encounter, and he tried to blackmail his own sister with this. His own sister and brother were feuding with him because he set up a bunch of cut-out front companies as a way of illegally feeding the campaign of the governor of New Jersey at the time, Governor McCready, because the governor of New Jersey is who selects the chairman of the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, and the Port Authority sets up lucrative real estate contracts, which Kushner was trying to award to himself. And the president, by the way, the former chairman, is the president of AIPAC, the largest Israeli lobby. But it's a big circle. I have a film about that called Trump's Zionist Ball and Chain. It goes through all these white-collar criminals. And it might be a little bit heavy in the economic jargon and whatnot in the film. But the gist of it is, they're setting up honey traps. They're buying hookers. They're illegally financing everything. And they do it all the time. And because even when they get caught, now and then the return is so much larger than the consequences. And so it just continues. You can use a couple of million to bribe and end up with billions. And so they just do it and do it and do it. And it didn't hurt them at all. I mean, Jared Kushner, who has worked for his dad and whose father and mother also bribed his and his brother's way into Harvard. And it doesn't seem to escape them because it's never reported. I mean, do you think the Democrats, as much as they say, oh, Trump's racist and all that, why, they wouldn't bring up the fact that Charles Kushner is a convicted felon and that their son is given a high-level position in the White House, and the Kushner clan has been involved in all of these crimes linking back to Tony Solano, and all these mafia people around Atlantic City? They could, but they can't, because a lot of the Clintons and the Bidens are doing the same thing. So they're not going to bring it up. Let's get back to Robert Maxwell and Epstein's entry into the intelligence community then. If you've seen the statements by Ari Ben-Menashe. Yeah, Ari Ben-Menashe. He was the agent who spent time at MCC, the same prison as Epstein was murdered in. He's saying that when Ghislaine and Epstein started to go out, it was Robert who brought Epstein into the fold. Do you agree with that? What they tried to do at first with Epstein, because Robert was more into diverting illegal arms, and at the time they were working, I believe it was with Douglas Lees, in a bid, because the Americans had shafted Saudi Arabia on a contract for fighter jets and the British stepped in. I think it was the Tornadoes. I don't remember which jet it was. But basically, Epstein wasn't very good at it. And you can see his earlier Ponzi scheme with the reinsurance company with Stephen Hoffenberg. They knew John Lehman, who was on the 9/11 commission, by the way. They'd worked with Douglas Lees and tried to get Epstein in on this legal-ish. I mean, it's insider trading with this quasi-legal and illegal arms trade, but he just didn't know what he was doing. They said he was a brilliant mind, and others say, no, this guy was just a brilliant con man. I lean more toward the brilliant con man than any kind of whiz kid hedge fund manager or arms dealer, stockbroking. The guy found his niche setting up honey traps and getting young girls. Apparently, he had some charm, and they funded him the money. I mean, Wexner gave him a house. They just gave him a house. He owned a mansion in New York, the most expensive house there was, and he figured out with Jean-Luc Brunel and MC2 Modeling and other modeling agencies in the United States that rather than the traditional feeding ground of orphanages or putting up false advertisements in Eastern Europe and taking advantage of the desperate situation there after the collapse of the Soviet Union, That's how they got a lot of young girls, who wouldn't be known, who were attractive, that they could use in these rings. They set up modeling agencies, and the level of degeneracy worldwide had reached the point where it was perfectly okay to take 12-year-old models and stick them in nearly naked ads and things. And they plastered them all over Leslie Wexner's businesses like Abercrombie and Fitch. And it was kind of okay. They weren't naked, but it was sketchy. But it was a way of saying, look, you got a grown man with a house full of 12 to 15-year-old girls. And that is something that Jean-Luc Brunel was able to do to help as almost a farm to find, to hire, purposefully hire the compromised and then get them to the United States or to the Caribbean. And then, of course, everyone knows the story of what happened to them. Unfortunately for them, with Ghislaine Maxwell and Jeffrey Epstein using them, raping them, and using them as honey traps. I would also add kidnapping some of them. And some of them lived with them and had nowhere to go. They took their passports away. Ghislaine on many occasions threatened to kill them. But I'd like to point out, too, that Epstein's brother Mark Epstein has a lot of property in that New York area adjacent to the Wexner's rape house where a lot of these models were housed. His properties were housing a lot of these young girls, and this is often a place that people like Prince Andrew and Ehud Barak would go and visit, spend the night. So it wasn't just in Epstein's New York rape mansion itself, but the adjacent territories were full of young girls and they were prostituting them out, which is just disgusting. They raped a bunch of women, and a lot of people in that area knew and just had nobody to tell, because to the authorities, it didn't matter. Well, the girl at Wexner's house, Maria Farmer, she called the authorities, and they came out, and they were basically in Wexner's pocket, so they wouldn't do anything for her. Yes, I mean, you're talking about a billionaire with multiple businesses who's friends with other billionaires that own papers and they have so much influence, versus a teenage girl with no connections. What is she supposed to do? And this had happened over and over and over again before anything ever was done. And I guess it starts in Florida. Well, he pissed off another billionaire, Donald Trump, over the Mar-a-Lago property capture. Was rubbing Trump's face in it because obviously Trump wanted to buy the property adjacent to what he already owned, and he was having a lot of financial problems, and Epstein and Maxwell were rubbing his nose in it. But Trump did make a lot of money in some of his hotel investments, and then later through The Apprentice, and was able to just barely outbid Epstein and nab the property, which caused a rift between the two. But that's the property where Virginia Roberts was recruited from by the tennis courts. You've heard her story. She's probably been the most vocal victim of all the victims so far, and I believe more will step up. But with the death of Epstein, a lot of it all died, even though there are plenty of players still to go after. Maxwell's also accused of rape. So is Dershowitz, Jean-Luc Brunel, Prince Andrew. There are people there, some of them who aren't hiding. And nothing seems to really go forward. I think I mentioned earlier how Ehud Barak helped shelter other paedophiles. One of them was Ari Scher, who, together with a Hebrew language teacher named George Steinberg, set up a child prostitution ring. They were homosexual, and they were using little boys and little girls. And they had Israeli tourists going to the Israeli consulate in Brazil, where these parties would happen with little kids. And that's how they got caught. These guys were so brash that they stupidly didn't understand that in the background of some of the photos that were going around was the swimming pool of the Israeli consulate, which was very noticeable. So they were doing it on government property. That doesn't mean necessarily that the Israelis set them up to do that. But as an employee of the Israeli state, Ari Scher sure was doing that, and wasn't convicted, and he flew back to Israel. And Katsav, the convicted rapist president of Israel, he just moved him around. They tried to send him to Australia, The Aussies looked up his past and said, there's no way this person is coming here. And then he went to Hong Kong, and they just moved them around like the Catholic Church used to do the rape priests. Oh, you got caught doing that? Well, let's just put you in this other area. Which is disgusting. I mean, they're being financed and protected by a state when they're raping children. And I mean, it was like 8, 9-year-old kids that these guys were involved with. And it just goes on and on. They're always getting Latin American kids out of Colombia. A former IDF, Israel Defense Forces soldier, set up a rape ring in Colombia. And they would get caught, and maybe it's in the written news for a day, and then disappears, and it's never in the American media. And it doesn't matter how big it is or who it involves. And I swear the only reason they really jumped on the Epstein thing is because there was pictures of him with Donald Trump. And whatever you think about Donald Trump, there has been many sustained anti-Trump screed in the media since before he was even sworn in. And so, when they tried to go back to Acosta, who said, I was told this is intelligence. Back off, right? And with who? Which kind of intelligence? If it's the CIA, why are we busting ourselves? Why did we arrest him in New York at all, right? It's someone. It's intelligence, all right. It's not our intelligence. It's another country's intelligence. More powerful, probably, with pulling the strings than the United States is. But he was told to back off. And Barry Krischer, that gave him the sweetheart deal in Florida, was an award winner for the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, as was Alan Dershowitz. It's not hard to figure out who it was. The mega group was set up for that purpose, and he's giving money to the chief of the Mossad, who's the chairman of an Israeli security network that they themselves have created. And then these people are hiding rapists. And why are you stealing tech? Why are you setting honey traps? Why are you so interested in U.S. technology and science? Is the U.S. stealing that to give it to the U.S.? That doesn't make any sense. It's a foreign state, and it's Israel. The reason it prevails in the news here is because of Prince Andrew. Do you think Prince Andrew was just a useful idiot, or was he more diabolical? Both. He's a useful idiot and diabolical. Prince Andrew gave Epstein more clout. It's like, look, I know a royal, which in America, no one cares. It's like, prince of what? Get lost. But it's a big deal in other places. He's a prince, he knows the queen, and whatever. And it's a very rich, wealthy, famous person. And Epstein would brag about this to many. Oh, I got this guy, I got that. And he liked to get actors or prominent people. His role officially was to go after U.S. science and technology. But one way you're going to have to set up honey traps to protect yourself politically. You mess with Hoover. What Hoover used to do with his G-men was collect sexual blackmail on key figures that he was going after. But then, of course, Frank Costello got the goods. The sexual blackmail of Hoover and Clyde Tolson themselves. So you blackmailed the blackmailer. And now you're a blackmailer over everyone else. Epstein was kind of like this. Because you have to understand, when you're talking about the very, very wealthy and very powerful, bribery doesn't really work. You can't really bribe someone with something they already have. If you're going to bribe a billionaire or a millionaire, you're going to need an enormous amount of money because they're not going to risk everything they have for $200,000 or something. No, if you want to go after the poor, you use bribery. If you want to go after the wealthy, you use blackmail. Blackmail, conversely, doesn't work so well with the poor because they have nothing to lose. But you wave money around and they're willing to do it. So if you want to get somebody like Bill Clinton, or you want to get somebody like a governor or a senator, or a Larry Summers or someone like that, then you want to go like Bill Richardson, for example, then you're going to use blackmail. And the best kind of blackmail is sexual blackmail. And the best kind of sexual blackmail is underage sexual blackmail. Because that is the one thing that will do you in. Because if you look at, for whatever reason in the UK and US, if somebody advocated murder, if someone caused the starvation of 500,000 Iraqi children, if someone was involved in international starvation in Yemen, if somebody reinstituted slavery in North Africa, if someone was caught aiding Al-Qaeda, that's fine. But you get caught banging a little kid, then, okay, we have a moral line somewhere that will end your career. So this is how deep and ugly it's got to be to get blackmail. Because advocating murder and starvation and torture, that's a legitimate political platform. If you want to get up there and be pro-torture, you can sit there as an adult and actually make a case of why you should be allowed to torture human beings, even though it's been proven all it does is get them to say whatever they think you want to hear. And it's not reliable and it doesn't matter. That's fine. That's okay. And you can advocate for sanctions, even though we know that it's killing people collectively. And you can do all that. You shouldn't be able to, but that will not tank your career. What will tank your career in the United States or the UK is sexual deviancy or racism. That's about all you could possibly do that would automatically kill your career. So with Prince Andrew being in the news here, it's taken the heat off the Clintons. How tight were the Clintons with Epstein? I saw Hillary was on the flight as well.
Yeah, it's interesting because a relative of mine was in the uniform Secret Service, was a bodyguard for both the Clintons. And I heard many stories about her sexual escapades, let's say. And I had Gary Byrne on my show recently, and he conferred a similar story of being walked in on with another woman. And so, she's not as well known as Bill, because Bill actually was the president, unlike Hillary. So he got a lot more attention from the accusations of rape, going all the way back to when he was a governor of Arkansas, and beyond, during the Iran-Contra scandal, which he also assisted in. Iran-Contra, by the way, it was not an event where the Israelis helped the US by selling contraband to Iran. Israel had been getting contraband out of Nicaragua and aiding the dictatorship there since the middle of the 70s. Somoza's grandfather helped smuggle and divert weapons out of Nicaragua to the Israeli state the generation before. So they owed them. But the Clintons, Bill Clinton was very well known, not as a pedophile, but definitely as someone that couldn't keep his willy in his pants. He really liked the ladies, and so it was a simple target to honeytrap Clinton. And I don't think he was just on the plane making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, let's say that. The best troll ever was Donald Trump bringing in the Clintons' rape accusers and putting them in the front row of his debate with Hillary. So she had to look them in the face the whole time. Yeah, I saw that. That was a hell of a power play, and Clinton deserved that. He was allegedly coked up abusing women. And you mentioned earlier how the president of Israel had a rape conviction. Well, I suspect that Clinton wouldn't have had one if it wasn't for his resources, connections, legal team, out-of-court settlements, non-disclosure agreements, and being fully backed by the CIA protecting the cocaine operation of George H.W. Bush and Oliver North. And they tried to involve a lot of their own security personnel in North Africa, for example, where they would buy hookers for everybody and try. It was pure debauchery when the Clintons got into the White House. They brought it into that kind of sacred area, and they brought all of it there with them. And the kind of people they were hiring and the kind of people they'd been associated with all the way back to their mafia days in Arkansas, it never skipped a beat. So it wasn't surprising at all. I mean, Clinton pardoned Mark Rich in his final hour in the office. And Mark Rich was a commodities trader for Glencore and famous for a lot of crimes. Officially, he was on Interpol's most wanted list for tax evasion in the tens of millions. And his wife financed Hillary Clinton's Senate campaign. Pick a crime, They did it, with the Russian mob, including narcotics, illegal smuggling of weapons, uranium, human trafficking, and so on. Mark Rich, these guys in the Russian mob, they're all tied to the Clintons. So is Louis Libby, even, ironically. Libby was Mark Rich's lawyer, and he was the chief of staff for Dick Cheney, and he wrote a book about pedophile rape. He had underage Japanese girls being raped in a cage by a bear, so you can include bestiality on top of pedophilia. And Clinton pardoned his own brother who was buying coke, dealing coke, and who said that Bill had a nose like a vacuum cleaner. And Dan Lasseter, who was laundering the money. Do you think some of Epstein's money was drug money? They were doing drugs, so I mean he was involved in it. But most of his money he got because of his theft. And so he wasn't really a drug czar so much. But some of the people he was partying with certainly were. Was he moving drug money around for the CIA? Kind of like Dan Lasseter, who laundered money through Arkansas? Oh yeah, okay. As far as the money laundering section, yes, absolutely. He wasn't the guy selling the narcotics, though. Epstein was more of the one cleaning the money, and he was a frontman for the Mega Group and also for J.P. Morgan Chase. So one of the things he did, and this will just be one example of the many things he did, because we talked earlier about Stephen Hoffenberg and Doug Leese and stuff, but I didn't get into the nitty-gritty of that. But there's so many scandals and Ponzi schemes that he was involved with. Also, he actually was involved in another one with the Bronfmans. So I can get to that later too, if you want to put a pin in that and remind me. But one of the things he did down in the Caribbean, this is a guy buying islands. As Eric Weinstein said, he looked way richer than he was, unless they're just lying about his income. But the mega group set him up well, and he was sort of the cutout and had cutout companies to hide money and to launder money for financials and hedge funds. He wasn't a hedge fund manager, like a legal hedge fund manager. That's actually investing well. That's not what he did. For example, he set up a company in Bermuda for Bear Stearns. And so he did Bear Stearns Limited, Island Limited, to get away around U.S. regulations. And then they set up Liquid Funding Limited in Bermuda and put up 40% of the money for this. And there's a whole webby network of who's who, crooks involved in that. And all it was really doing was offloading toxic assets for Bear Stearns into this subsidiary so that they looked like they had balanced books when they didn't. And Bear Stearns, for example, the first of the following month, would buy back the toxic assets. It just shifted them around so it would look like they didn't have debt obligations when they did. And then, of course, liquid funding would look as if it was terribly in the red. And then it would just be bought back again after the rating agencies had cleared it. It's just shifting around toxic assets. There's nothing genius about it. It's actually a really low-level scheme. But to make it worse, Liquid Funding used commercial paper into several money markets, including Dreyfus money markets. They put in $139 million and then $125 million in Russell Investments and $100 million into J.P. Morgan money market funds. And it was odd because, of course, he's meeting with representatives of them. James Staley of J.P. Morgan physically met Epstein in Florida while he's supposed to be in jail. He had the 12 hours or 6 days a week he could go back to work and then stay next to the jail in an apartment. On one of his working holidays, working from home and still continuing to rape women, he met with Alan C. Greenberg and James Staley. Why can't you just call the guy on the phone? Well, we know why. You want to meet in person. You know. We all know. He had plainclothes police screening his guests. They weren't calling him the prisoner. Put it that way. Cops don't have the highest salary, and he's like, here's a wheelbarrow of cash. And two girls. Right? So J.P. Morgan Chase, they would end up buying out Bear Stearns in this kind of corporate takeover, but not alone. The Federal Reserve Bank in New York set up Maiden Lane LLC, and they put in a senior loan of $28.2 billion, and J.P. Morgan only put in $1.1 billion, or maybe $1.2 billion in this takeover of Bear Stearns. So of the $30 billion, over $28 billion of it came from Maiden Lane, which is just a Federal Reserve creation. A Federal Reserve Bank of New York. Not the Fed like the D.C. Fed, but same difference. And they would buy out the company that Epstein was helping to hide toxic assets for and illegally putting out junk commercial paper into money markets that caused all these people to lose their fortunes. Should he have been convicted of that? I think that story, because the pedophilia is so bad and so clickbaity, I guess, that some of his other nefarious financial crimes never really get a lot of attention. But not only was he a pedophile and a spy, he was definitely a world-class white-collar criminal.